Hello, hello, and welcome to the Paisley Penny Arcade, whatever that means. I'm Mo, and today is Wednesday the 17th of June. Can you believe? How are ya? This is the place, whatever that means, and I am he, whatever that means. And you are you, and you know what that means. So, how are you, Renee? Welcome to the place. Today is going to be, I think, an interesting day. I always hope it's going to be. And welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Those of you listening to 1-2 Radio, thank you. Those of you on YouTube watching me, thank you. And today we're going to talk about metaphysics and what a wonderful thing it is. Going to take a little bit of a journey. More or less. Pamela, welcome to the room. What room? Those of you listening are saying, room? Room? Well, there's a chat room associated with this in live time. And that live time is, go to moabdelbaki.com at, let's see, no, go to YouTube. At Mo Abdelbaki. That's all there is to it. Forget about the MoAbdelbaki.com. Just go to YouTube at Mo Abdelbaki. MoAbdelbaki. There you are, and you'll find us. And you can talk to Renee and Pamela, and you can talk to each other, and you can talk to me, because I keep an eye on it. And that way, if you have a question regarding what's going on, I don't answer questions here. Someone had a question a couple of weeks ago, and it was a busy day, because I had a lot I wanted to talk about. And I got through it all. And I have a lot I want to talk about today. One of the things I'd like to talk about today is the whole concept of metaphysics itself and what a wonderful thing it is and how full it is and how people really don't, in their lives, don't explore it very much, which I think is a shame because it's fascinating. It will keep you busy. And when I say busy, I mean extremely busy. Lots and lots and lots to study, a lot to think about, and you'll never be bored. I guarantee you that. I started this journey when I was a kid, and I mean kid, like 6, 7. I was fascinated by it by that time. And I used to go to our library. It was a wonderful Carnegie Library in Fort Collins, Colorado. And I would go sit amongst the books because I was too young to check them out and probably too young to read them. And I would sit and thumb through them and see pictures of seances with ectoplasm. And I thought, you know, that just looks like a sheet. And that's what it was, because they were probably phonied up seances and that sort of thing. And I have a book on hoaxes that was really, that sticks with me very clearly. And it gave me the ability to have a questioning mind, a very strong questioning mind. There was a hoax that was it was supposedly the body of John Wilkes Booth. And later on, I had the good fortune to run into that body, the mummy of John Wilkes Booth in the Garden of the Gods area in Colorado Springs. As a teen, we were driving through that area, my family. And we stopped at one of those tourist places, and there it was, the very thing I was, you know, in the book. It was the book written in the 30s or 40s, and there it was, the very, the very thing with a bullet hole in it. It was just phenomenal, you know, and books like that just fascinated me, and one of the librarians finally came over and said, you know, we need you to take this note to your parents and have them sign it and bring it back saying it's okay for you to see these books. And I said, okay, I'll do that. And of course, I signed my dad's name to it. I think I was 9 or 10 at the time. And it was okay with them. It wasn't my parents. I didn't take it to my parents because they would have said probably no. And So I had a few more years until I had two more. Well, I had to be 12 to check out those books. And boy, did I check them out. My little town of Fort Collins had a very big spiritualist influence in the 20s and 30s. And it was really something. As a matter of fact, when I was 8 years old, second grade, I was reading the poem of this cute little girl on the playground. I was quite smitten with her at that time. Red-haired, yes, it's cliche, the little red-headed girl. And I would run into her again after I left that school in junior high school and have smitten with her then. I never said a word. And name was Becky. Yeah. And and anyway, so I was reading her poem, and suddenly there was a claw at my ear, you know, and that claw dragged me into the office and sat me down. And Mr. Johnson was a really lovely man. He was the principal of the school, and he just said, you really shouldn't do things like that at the age of 8. And I mean, he didn't say that, but he said that not everyone appreciated that. And the teacher, I won't mention her name, she was famous in our school district, never married. They named a school not far from where I lived, so I could look out from where I'm actually from my backyard and see this school every day after they built it and be reminded of her, because she actually was she had never taught me, but I sure was exposed to her a lot. Wait, I don't want to put it that way. That's a bit rude. But you get that. And she'd been teaching since the 20s, I'm quite certain. And this was in the 60s. And she was, but that claw, you know. And I thought it was because she was probably again all that stuff, you know. But in fact, she was a spiritualist. Just out of interest, I looked her up, and she was in the Wikipedia, actually. And there she was, and it turns out she was a member of the spiritualist movement, very heavily into it, as well as puppets, marionettes, and that was like, oh, you know. But she was really a very kind lady, as I got to know her in the upper. But she was very strict about some things, and so what she saw me doing was probably quite offensive to her, even though I actually was reading her hand, Becky's hand, you know, reading her palm, doing my best to impress her, because I wanted to impress her. I was quite taken with her, and always was. Who knows? She had dimples and this beautiful smile and these wonderful eyes and, you know, this... What can I say? Yeah, and I never said anything to her. So, but anyways, even at the age of 8, I was into this stuff. And so there it was. There it was. And I've always been fascinated. I saw my first tarot cards very early on, 5 or 6, and was like, ooh, you know. And got my first deck. And when I sent away for the cards at the age of 10, got them at the age of 11, because we moved. Made my first deck of cards right around the age of 7. Just took a deck of playing cards and drew upon them. It's always been in me. I learned about the planets as soon as I could. I did not correlate that they could have influence upon our lives, and I'm not sure I put it that way. I would say more that they are a map of us, that they map us. That's how I would put it. That they are a map of our existence, and that they can... I've done Vedic astrology for over 30 years, and I did regular astrology before, and when I was introduced to Vedic, yeah, by Mary McLean. Thank you, Mary McLean, wherever you may be. Boy, it just changed how I saw everything, and it just went kabong, this is it for me. And it was really quite amazing. And I said, this makes perfect sense. Perfect sense to me. And it made a lot of sense. And I just went, all right, I can do this. And metaphysics is fascinating. I wrote down some of the things here that I thought people should study, that it's fun to study. There's tarot. There's astrology, of course. There's numerology, which is fascinating. You know who's a good numerologist is Christine DeMaurier. She's got a show right here. She was in the chat room one day. I didn't know her screen name. I'm trying to read it, making a jackass of myself. Hee-haw, hee-haw. And I just couldn't figure out what her name was. It was like, I'm so stupid. I wish she had said, Mo, it's me, Christine. Because I know Christine, and she's a sweet person. She's a friend of mine. And I'm like, who is this? You know, didn't have any idea. Dumb as a brick. But she's a remarkable numerology person, a numerologist, you know. So, but she's got a show right here on YouTube, and it's called I think she calls it The Through Line, and she's a very smart person. But a good numerologist is kind of fascinating. The numerology I do is known as gematria, and that's Hermetic numerology related to the Hebrew alphabet, because that's what they use to encode their ideas into. It utilizes tarot, and it utilizes. You can use it with tarot, and you can use it with astrology if you want. You can use it with a bunch of stuff, and it's fascinating, fascinating, fascinating stuff. And that's something you can study, you know, along with the Tree of Life. It's powerful stuff, because the idea behind that is that every word has a meaning. And when things have the same number, then they're all related. So the word dog and God would be related, although the words are different in Hebrew, let's say. But in that theory, the words dog and God are related because they have the same numeric value. And I would put to you that they are related, right? I think they're related. So what are some other things I wrote down here? Numerology, I wrote palmistry. Wow. I studied palmistry for years, and I did it for a long, long time. I did it mostly when I was doing, like, parties. You know, someone would say, would you like to come and read palms? And I'd say, sure, you want your palm read? And I'd take out some paint and blah, blah, blah. I'm kidding. It's an old joke. But it, and I would do palms all night, and people loved it. If you're a professional and you're thinking of getting into the business of doing readings for people, you can leave your cards at home. If you could read palms, you're going to be very, very popular. Very popular. I have a book. What was her name? Let's see what we have here. Renee says, I pulled a card for timing on getting information from a friend. I pulled the Three of Wands, virtue. I took that as meaning soon, and I got the information less than a week later. Yahoo, Renee! That show last week paid off already. Yeah. It's a pretty fast card, the Three of Wands. Virtue. It's also the vernal equinox, which is coming up, as a matter of fact, this coming Sunday. So happy vernal equinox to all of you. That's this coming Sunday, Father's Day. That's right. I have kids and grandchildren. My God, I've got 5 grandkids. Through no real, you know, I mean, they're my grandkids. I had kids, and I love that, and I love my grandchildren. Boy, do I love my grandchildren. I love my grandchildren more than you can imagine. I love my grandchildren so much, and I'm so proud of them, you know. And I mean, they're wonderful. I didn't raise them, you know. I didn't raise them, but they're so wonderful. Oh, my goodness. They're just wonderful. One of them is all grown up, and she is absolutely magnificent. Magnificent. She is a true human being. Oh, she's just dynamic and absolutely magnificent. Oh, my God. Just, oh, man, just wonderful. And the rest are kids, you know, and the other four, they're just, oh, so splendid. Just so incredibly splendid. I just love them so much. And my kids, oh, my goodness. I love love. I love love. There's nothing more that I love than love. Love is the best thing in the world. I know there are people out there who would watch this and go, you know, but that's what I love. I love love. It's the best thing in the world. So anyway, you readers out there, think about learning some palmistry. What was her name? Oh, she was the wife of a famous magician. If you can find the book, I've got it. I own it. It was given to me by a friend of mine. We met in the sixth grade. My buddy Jack died when we were 19. God, I loved him. I loved Jack. Broke my heart. First friend to die. Broke my heart. Close friend. I had another fellow I knew I liked, but he was really the older brother of another friend of mine, but he died in Cambodia during the war. The police action, but anyway, so when Jack, he gave me that book, yeah, and it was a great book. I can't remember her name. I imagine it's not easy to find, but what an interesting book, and I think she had worked like in carnivals and stuff, and a lot of good stuff in there. Some stuff I've never seen anywhere else. I could tell people how many kids they had, and it was accurate, and they blew them away. Just blew them away. Unbelievable stuff. So palmistry is good. Cartomancy. Well, that's just using playing cards, isn't it? Any type of regular cards, card reading. Lenormand here, you know. Here's my Lenormand cards. I've had these forever. I love them. I always keep them in the Lenormand box. This is a Piatnik deck. Piatnik makes good cards. Yeah. Piatnik out of Vienna. Good cards. I love this particular deck. It shows her like some sort of mad woman on the front. You know? Just love it. I think she was anything but. Supposedly she read for Napoleon. Napoleon, he loved geomancy. Geomancy, which was dots. There were many ways to do it. You could take a handful of pebbles and count them, and then you'd have even or odd, or you'd make dots in the sand, or you could pull marbles out of and it's a form of even or odd, you know, and you form 16 figures, geometric figures, and it's like the I Ching a little bit, you know. I studied that for a long time. Then I got into astrological geomancy. Holy cannoli! What an incredible! I predicted the downfall of the Berlin Wall with that, and when it would go down. You know, Pamela says my grandchildren are cats. Well, that's cool. That's cool. You know, that's wonderful. It's about love. It's about love. That's what it's all about. I love my puppy so much, you know, so much. And she loves us so much. It's what it's about. It's what the world's about. Love makes the world go around. That's an old song, you know. Most of the songs that we have are about love. That's what they're about. A lot of heavy metal songs are not about love. They're anger-based. But a lot of them are anger-based because of love. Frankly. Or heartache. a lot of heartache songs are based in love, right? Yeah. That's how it goes. My wife says this is cluttered in here. She's right, but that's my mind is cluttered. So what are you going to do? What else did I write down here? Cardamancy. I Ching. Holy mackerel. I Ching. I Ching. You know what goes along with I Ching? Feng Shui. Taoism. Right. Why? Well, because the I Ching is in many ways the foundation of Chinese culture. Now, some people would say, Mo, you are up to here with the brown stuff, you know? And maybe some people would be right, but I have studied many things. And one of the things about the I Ching is that the I Ching is powerful. And it sets things in order. It sets in order nature and how nature works and how things are happening in nature. And one of the things it does set up is the concept of the order of the sequence of the seasons and all that. And you get the Luopan, which is the geomancer's compass, they call it, you know, which is what someone who does feng shui uses. Pamela says, I need a good dose of feng shui. And yeah, we could all use it. And I happen, my office, even though it looks a little bit, you know, whatever, like you need a shoehorn to fit me in here, it is actually, the feng shui is pretty damn good. Darn, it's darn good. It feels very comfortable to me. I've got kind of an innate knack for it because I studied it for a very long time. Now, that's something I was introduced to at the 12th house. I'd been doing the I Ching for a long time because I was introduced to it in junior high school. But as far as the feng shui, that was something that came to me much later, and I kind of understood it because it meant sense, made sense to me because of the I Ching, but I didn't understand it, a lot of it, because a lot of it seemed very superstitious to me. And that's the truth. There are two, I don't like superstition, but I've studied some of the, things like voodoo and hoodoo, you know, and shamanism, and there are a lot of interesting things, and you know, I've stayed completely away from Santeria. I would suggest you do the same, unless someone takes you in, okay? Don't mess with that. It's powerful, and it can be rather incredibly dangerous. So you got to make sure that you know exactly what you're doing. There are powers that are very difficult to you don't control any of those. Feng Shui, by the way, if you have the right person. I had a student many, many, many years ago named Cynthia Murray. Her specialty is orienting doors. You can call Cynthia up, look her up. She's a, you know, if you're building a house, you call you up, you say, Cynthia, Mo sent me to you and said that you could come out and tell me which direction my door in my new house should face. She'll come out, she'll charge you, and she's worth it, and she'll tell you which direction to face your front door. That's what she does. Okay? And she went to all the schools. She, you know, I'm looking for there's a Swiss company that makes these beautiful luopans. I can't afford them. They're like couple grand, you know, but they're Swiss and they're precise. And what a luopan is, I've got a small one. It's, where did I put that? I think it's up on my shelf over here that my son brought me from China. He paid more for it in China than I could buy it in, the exact same thing on Amazon, but I don't want to tell him that. He brought it from China and he brought it to me. So it's worth much more than anything I could ever have. And I love it. But they're compasses, and what they have on them are these legends, and you look at it and you can tell what's a good place and a bad place, and they're fantastic, and they're magnificent, you see. And that's all based on the I Ching. And then there's the Tao, which means the way, the road. All based on. And you can get into this stuff, and you can start, I have a book up here. You can't see it. It's a big, oh, you can see, yes, you can. You can see it up there. I'm pointing to it. It's a book on the compass, the Feng Shui Diviner's Compass. And it's thick. You know, it costs a fortune. They get money for those thick old books that no one really wants to buy. And he doesn't really tell you about a guy named Skinner. He's a big deal, you know. But they don't tell you that much about it, you know. But see, I also pulled, oh, good, another update from Renee. I also pulled a card for timing on an art project. I got the art card. What else? It has the astrology symbol of Sagittarius. It is Sagittarius. It's ruled by Sagittarius. Would that be mid-October to the first part of November? Well, certainly it could be, you know. Certainly could be. It's also numbered 14, as I recall. So you think about that. You have to. What does your intuition tell you about that, Renee? Right? So timing on an art project, is that a reasonable objective for the art project? Because we're in June now. July, August, September, October. 4.5 to 5 months. Is that, Renee, is that reasonable? You tell me. Okay, so let's move on from the I Ching stuff. What else did I talk about there? I talked about the I Ching. I said that. When we talk about mediumship, I'm not into mediumship. I don't like it. I've done seances. I've done them. And there's nothing that I like about being allowing something to come into you. So I'll just say that's something, if you feel like allowing it, it's your job. But I don't like something slipping into me. And I never allowed it completely because I just don't like it. Okay, Renee says that is reasonable. Good. And I've met a lot of phonies. I'll just say it. Lots of them. So that's up to you. But that is something that you can look into. I just don't think it's really but that is something to look into. Harry Houdini, along with a fellow named Joseph F. Wrin. Joseph Wrin wrote a book called 60 Years of Psychical Research. A fascinating book. And Houdini spent about 30 years debunking mediums, because he really wanted to find out, is there such a thing as a real, is there anything? He never could prove it. He tried, because he wanted to believe. And his widow, Bess, wanted proof that he had passed on to the other side. No proof, ever. I don't know. Heck, I don't have any idea. Auras, I believe in them. I've taught the class. There you go, Renee. Get busy. Get it done. You can share the results. Auras. I used to teach aura classes. And in the class, I discovered that if one person can see them, and I have been able to, I don't do it all the time, drive you crazy, if one person can see them, everybody can see them. I don't know why it works. But by the end of the class, everybody's seeing them. And they're flipping out, happily flipping out, but flipping out. You can do this. You can do this. And you can see them. Usually people start seeing them in black and white. By the end of the class, they're seeing bright colors. And they're just going, yes, yes, yes. And then they may never see them again, but that one time. And then they're believers, and they just go, wow. And you realize you've been seeing them all your life. Astral projection. Why don't you study that? Once you do it, you're hooked. It's not easy to do because it's not a normal thing to do. Some of you have done it. Some of you have done it in your sleep. Here's one thing. If you're in a dream and you happen to lucid dream where you go, oh, I'm dreaming, look at your hands. Look at the backs of your hands. If you can look at the backs of your hands, you will discover that whatever you're dreaming disappears and you'll be in a real place. And that can change your life because suddenly you'll realize it's a real thing. Remote viewing. What is remote viewing? Well, it's not what people think it is. A fella named Ingo Swan, I-N-G-O, Swan, like the, you know, bird. He wrote a book on remote viewing, and he was doing it for the CIA, supposedly. Now, I know two people who worked at the Stanford Research Institute back in the 70s, late 70s, early 80s, I think, and they were doing remote viewing for SRI, Stanford Research Institute, I think with Ingo, and they did remote viewing, and they're as honest as the day is long. And they were doing it. And it's not what you think. It's a very sort of different thing. Look into it. Try it. Why wouldn't you try it? Why wouldn't you explore the metaphysical realm and stretch your mind? Life can be mundane, man. I mean, it just can be so kind of humdrum, ho-hum, la-la-la-la-la. Why not make it sizzle? Why not make it fascinating? Why not? Why not get yourself a Ouija board or two? Why not? Psychometry. What is psychometry? It's fascinating. I used to teach a couple classes in that back in the day. You take an object. And you hold it with the tag, right? Mini pearl. No, you just hold the tag, right? And you just feel. This is great in antique shops. You know, although there may be a little hesitation there, you know, for people to just let you hold. Renee says, I used to see colors when I tried to meditate. Oh, yeah, yeah. It was beautiful. It doesn't happen anymore, and I miss it. Well, those colors you're seeing in your meditations may be levels of going down. I see them when I meditate. Usually I go boom. Different. I love those colors. I see them. Psychometry is this. You're holding something. This happens to be a mandala yo-yo by Tom Kuhn. If you call Tom Kuhn, tell him Mo sent you. Tom knows me. Used to, anyway. Tell him Mighty Mo sent you. Mighty Mo the Yo-Yo Pro. And you hold this and you say, okay, who owned this? Big guy. Big guy with weird clothes. Oh, he's a pretty good yo-yoer. Yeah. Yeah, mandala yo-yo. Okay, why? And you get feelings, and this was an amazing thing. I have done it very successfully over the years. This checks out your sensitivity, your ability to feel things, your ability to discern things. You know, it's a powerful thing, and it works. Here, let me hold this. What do I feel from this? What is this? This is a nose flute. Ew. I'm feeling something disgusting. Let's see. Ugh. Snot. I'm feeling snot. Oh, give me a Kleenex. No. Okay, but you do it. I've had people give me things and I've held them and I've been able to discern a lot. And that was correct. And you can do it too. Psychometry. Read about this stuff. It's valuable. It enhances everything you do. It enhances everything you are. It makes you a better reader. It makes you more in tune with the world around you. don't ignore this stuff. I have experienced with lucid dreaming very fun and interesting experiences. That was Pamela that saw colors. Oh, was it? Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, my eyes. I'm an old man. Pamela, good for you. Thank you, Renee. What else did I write about? Remote viewing. Yeah. Pendulums. Pendulums. I'm not big on pendulums because I know that I can make them move. But for those who can remain indifferent to the fact that they can do that, they work. You know? Yeah. Seances. I had fun in seances. They're fun. But not for me anymore. No. Pendulums, you can ask yes or no questions. I've known people who were spot on all the time. Let's talk about Tarot for a second. Tarot, there are literally, I'm sure, hundreds of thousands of decks. At any given time, there are tens of thousands, probably thousands of decks available. I may be exaggerating a bit. But there are thousands of decks available, and that is not an exaggeration. There are decks that I wish were still available, that I wish I had bought 30 years ago, 50 years ago. There were decks around that I wish I had bought because they were so cool, so very, very cool. And I was like, but I didn't have any money, you know? Tarot decks have always been expensive. The first tarot deck that I bought was like $3, $3.95 in the back of a comic book. And that was expensive for me. I was a kid, you know? Dowsing rods. Oh, Pamela, thank you. Yeah, I made a set of great dowsing rods. Copper. I bought this stuff at like a hobby shop. Dowsing rods. I made copper tubes, and copper wire, whoop, you know, and little balls on the end that were beads, copper beads. It was all copper, you know, lightning, zip, gone. And they were incredible. I could find dead spots in houses. I could find weird energy. It was really something. That, and along with my Dzingsha, which are the Tibetan bells, I could find sour spots. I could find what I thought were bad energies. But these dowsing rods, they were really just incredible. Renee, you can't do pendulums for yourself. That's interesting. The dowsing rods and water rods. I've never been able to water witch. Now, I've known people who could do water witching like crazy. And were very good at it. Very good at water witching. I had a friend when I was a kid. They had a well on their property. He found it. When I met him, he was 12. Yeah, he was 12. And they needed a well because when they had went dry, he lived across the street and down from me. And they put a piece of... cottonwood. They put a cottonwood sampling in his hand. They put it in the shape of a Y. You usually hear willow, but it's anything that can, you know, that needs water, and cottonwood loves water. And they cut it in that Y, and they just said, now you just go out in the backyard, and they had a big backyard, and it was adjacent to a pond, an irrigation pond. I lived across the street too. We'd skinny dip in the summer. God, it was a great. It was great. Anyway, so they put it in his hand like that, and he just started walking around in the backyard, and suddenly it just. And they dug, and they found a well, you know. And because it was well water, you know, they couldn't drink it, but they used it for, you know, stuff like that. Renee's asking, Pamela, do you have dowsing rods? That's a good question. Do you? The one I had for years and years, and then one day I moved, and it got crushed and bent, and I just didn't make new ones. You can make them with straws and wire. And I'm convinced there's something to it. We are actually the ones, I believe, that kind of ground them, and, you know, we resonate, and they work. I'm convinced. You see, anything that we're doing, we're really kind of resonating with that, you know? But back to this idea of tarot, investigate different decks. I have a box filled with tarot decks. I just do. Yet I use my deck only, you know, but there are other decks that I've investigated, not that I've used them. Let's see, Pamela says, I do, but haven't used them yet. I thought that I brought it up. I'm going to have to try. You betcha. There are those ones, fancy dowsing rods that have springs on them and stuff, and you know, it's all pretty cool. I'm sure some of them work and some of them don't, but they all work. They're going to work in one form or another. I had a client who used to buy them, very expensive, with crystals on them and stuff, but he had money. He had a job. He had a job, a real job. And he got paid very, very well. So there you are. Astrology, the granddaddy of them all. You know, astrology has been around since humans have been around, because they looked up in the sky and they saw stars that didn't move, and then they saw planets, which means wanderers, I guess. And they watched the wanderers, and they went back and forth, and they said, these are deities or representations of deities, and they said they seem to coincide with certain things that happens, and astrology's fascinating stuff. I still study it with great interest. You should pay attention to some things. Only what interests you, though, right? Right. Runes. What about runes? Runes have been fascinating for a long time. Now, they are an alphabet. Does that mean any alphabet can be used as a form of divination? Does it? Why not? Why not? Maybe any alphabet can be used as a form of divination. It's up to you. Now, the runes have a certain history that I'm sure most rune masters would rather not discuss. Probably the greatest modern rune master is Stephen Flowers, Dr. Stephen Flowers, also known as Edred Thorsen. And he's the one who kind of wrote a bunch of rune books. You know, the Well of Weird and you know, those other books. Word, I think, is how it's pronounced. But really good books on using, you know, runes and rune magic and, you know, these types of things. I knew a rune master and his wife back at the old 12th House bookstore days. And he was a great guy. Ice Wolf. He was a great guy. I really liked him. And sweet, sweet guy. And he passed a few years ago, I heard. But just a sweetheart. And he was just a big old guy, you know, but he was into it all. And it's going today. The runes were a part of, unfortunately, the Third Reich. And they brought it into the Reich's religion. We'll use the word religion, religio, meaning to tie back. Tie back to what? Well, that's up to you. They did. So the runes were big for a long time, but studying the runes is a powerful thing to do, because you learn about how to use something like an alphabet to, and they work, like the Om. The Om is another old alphabet to teach you something, and because you have to think differently. You have to allow yourself to think more symbolically. I like them both. Yeah. Gematria. Oh, I love Gematria, because that's like a puzzle, you know. So what's the difference between 40 and 41? There's a lot. I'm not going to get into that. The number 40 and 41, I'm not going to get into that. Some other time. That's some other time. That's, we're getting into Crowley, and we're getting into magic, and we're getting into the idea of vampirism and emotional vampirism. We're not going to get into Hermeticism. That's a whole thing. Hermeticism will take 20, 30 years of your life. Tarot and the Tree of Life and symbolism there and sacred geometry. Oh, my goodness. Sacred geometry. I got into that so heavily. It stole an entire chapter of my life. And I just actually sold my books on sacred geometry by Tuns Brunus. And I was kind of glad to get rid of them. Because it was like, oh my God, I waited 6 months for them. They came from Copenhagen. I hope someone gets use out of them. Colors. What do colors mean? Yes, there are symbolic meanings of colors. In Tarot, do you know what the colors on your cards mean? Do you know? Because they're alchemical in nature. Not everybody knows that. People read the Rider-Waite deck. The Rider-Waite deck. Yeah, that's right. The Rider-Waite deck. And there are meanings to the colors, but they don't understand them all the time. Some people do. Some people don't. Does it matter? What is alchemical symbolism? What is the meaning of salt, mercury, and salt, mercury, and fire, sulfur? Well, what is all that about? Is it really about turning base metals into gold, or is there something else going on there? Huh. Does it matter? Well, not really. But you might be interested to look it up and see that Isaac Newton spent the last 40 years of his life trying to transmute base metals into gold, and that there are many people who believe he actually did it. He was a pretty smart guy. What are the tattvas, spelled with a W? Tattvas, but it's pronounced tattvas. What are they? What can they do for you? Do you know? I did a whole show on them once, but is there something there for you? It's not boring. I guarantee you it's not boring. It's pretty wild. They're simple shapes. There is an oval shape or an egg shape. It's dark, dark, dark indigo or dark purple or even black, and it's called Akasha. Akasha? Yeah. Yeah. It's where the records come from, vinyl and otherwise. And there is a yellow or dark brown or gold square, yeah. And there's a red triangle, point up, yeah. And there's a silver crescent. Yeah, there's one of those. And there's a blue circle, yeah. Seems to me I'm missing something, but doesn't matter. You can look it up. And then you know how to mix them up, you see. You mix them together. And then you learn how to go places. You can visit. All of that's in metaphysics. There's more. Meditation. Malas. I did a whole show on falcon, raven, right? Crow? Well, falcon, raven. Remember that one? I don't know if you saw it, but you can use your mala to do a form of divination. Snow leopard. And you can also meditate. You can hang it around your neck and look really chic. Or not. Not if you're me. There's so much. There's so much. What about the symbolism in Tarot? Have you ever wondered about the symbolism? I wrote to the Vatican. I wrote to the Vatican. That's how much it burned in me. Ah, you remember the show on the shapes and colors. Thank you. That makes me feel better. That makes me feel a lot better, Renee. Thank you. Yeah, I saw that we had a show at that show. It was a thing at the Art Museum here in Denver on the Jewels of the Vatican, I think it was called. The Treasures of the Vatican. Wonderful exhibit, you know. And they had a reliquary that came in, and it had on it the hangman, which stunned me. And the wheel, and it had the tower, blasted tower, and it had the hermit. And there was a priest at the end. Sigils, that's something to study carefully. Carefully. King Solomon. Carefully. And I got to the end of the whole thing, and I said to the priest, and he was from the Vatican, I said, "Excuse me, Father, can you help me?" And I was much younger. I had all black hair. And I said, "Could you help me?" So he was young, too. He was probably my age or so. "Can you tell me about the reliquary I saw?" And he said, "Take me to it." And I took him to it. And I said, "These are Tarot symbols." And he said, "No, no, no, my son, these are not Tarot symbols. These are symbols of saints who have been, you know." And I said, I know, but there are symbols used in Tarot. He said, "No, no, no, my son, these are saints. And they were stolen from symbolism on maybe tarot cards." "Yes, maybe, maybe, maybe." I said, "No, definitely, Father. I just, could you help me? I want to know who they are." And he had to have, didn't he have to have, wouldn't he had to have known? But he didn't know. He said, "No, no, no, I'm afraid I don't know." You know, he was, sorry for the pretending that. That's a terrible accent. That's Hollywood accent. And so he said, "Here," and he wrote. And he said, "You write to this man." And it was Father something something. I wish I'd kept it because his writing was so really beautiful. And he said, "You write to him, you ask him, and he will write you back, I promise you." I said, "Okay." So I wrote to him the next day. And it took about, I don't know, a month, 2 months. And I got a letter back. And, he wasn't going to tell me either. He said that the hangman may have been St. Oswald of Northumbria. But the rest, I don't know. That's not, Father Guido Sarducci, by the way, was Italian. Yeah, Dom Novello. Dom Novello was brilliant. What a brilliant comedian he was, yeah. I think he just passed recently. I thought he had gone a long time ago, but he was so funny. I used to watch him when I was in college. Laugh, boy, did we laugh. Yeah. So, and I looked up the rest, and I looked up everything, and I started studying the symbols of tarot cards from the 14th century, and the 15th century, and the 16th century, and I realized why the tarot cards were, oh my God, I have a minute left. See? Not boring. Not boring. St. Oswald of Northumbria. Well, that would make sense. Northumbria being Scotland and being across the North Sea to Finland, Norway, Sweden, Odin, Yggdrasil, hanging for 9 days and nights. Himself disemboweled. Get it? Never ever boring. Well, powerful. Everything we do in metaphysics teaches us about humanity, which teaches us about ourselves, which teaches us about our fellow human beings. fascinating stuff. You'll never be bored, I promise you. All right. Well, that's good for today, don't you think? Peace. Love, please. Peace. Please, love. Have a wonderful vernal equinox or summer solstice. You're very welcome. Thank you, Pamela. Thank you. Funcho, thank you. And have a wonderful summer solstice. I love you all so much. And I will talk to you next week if all goes well. If it doesn't, I had a great time. Okay? And I'll talk to you later. Take care. And a bye-bye, as they say. Bye-bye.
Until next we meet, I'll be waiting for you right here in the Paisley Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3.